afternoon, everybody, or good evening. Depends where you are. This is Veronica Entwistle. And you're listening to CBS Radio. It's about the amazing process of unfoldment. And we're going to tour through, we're going to use some meditations to discover something that you might want to release inside in order to unfold into your amazing creative potential, which of course is infinite. We don't know how far we can go when we unfold really well. And I'd like to start off by clearing the space. Well, I'm going to have callers, but we're not going to take callers till a little bit later in the show. And we're going to start off by clearing the space because remember, we're energy beings, beings of light. And very often what we do is run all kinds of energies that aren't necessarily relevant to the moment. So we think we're acting out of some deep place of, integrity. But sometimes we're actually acting out of some deep place of somebody else's thoughts and feelings, and who knows when you took them on. Or else some deep kind of veils or blocks to who you really are so you can adapt to what the requirements are in your household or whatever. So we're going to do some energy work, we're going to do some energy exploration, and we're going to start off by clearing our space. I don't know where we are. We're all over the world, aren't we? And maybe we'll get some callers from different countries today as well. But we still need, and there's no time and space when you go past the body, so we still need to clean and clear our energies and really extricate ourselves from consciousnesses that come in from all kinds of sources. Okay, so here we're going to do some house cleaning, everybody. I'd like you to call in or shut your eyes for a moment and take a couple of deep breaths. Another one. All right, now let's call in our guides and angels, and let's call in the beings of consciousness who are here with us all today, the beings of consciousness who nudge us, love us, and whisper and also grow with us as we unfold and learn to create more and more on this planet, those beings of consciousness that work with us in love and in spirit. Good. Now let's call in the violet flame, using the violet flame, the gift from Saint Germain, who's an ascended one, one who's conquered many of the limitations of the third dimension in order to teach us. Let's call in the violet flame. And have that see and feel that violet flame burning round and round and round your area, perhaps having it in all the corners of your room. And it burns and grows and burns and grows and burns and grows in the corners of your room. And then those flames, which are transforming all the leftover thoughts and feelings, those flames grow and grow, changing the frequency in your room. And as they move to the left in a great circle, they spiral into the middle of your floor or your car or your kitchen or your office, wherever you are. And you can feel the little buzz as the violet flame transforms all the leftover energy material from existence in your room. And jump into it in your imagination. Jump into the violet flame and feel yourself buoyed way up in the air as it burns and turns you and burns and turns you and transforms those radiant, reactive thoughts and feelings that you might be carrying. Maybe they're not even your own. Maybe they're just a reaction to someone else, or maybe they're someone else's feelings. We don't know. So the one final thing is to take a little of that violet flame, or a big amount, and shoot it up through the soles of your feet and squeegee out your legs and burn through your legs and your torso and have the violet flame burn and burn through your whole body up to your shoulders, shoot down your arms into your fingers till they tingle, and the violet flame moves back up your arms and burns through your throat and your neck and up into your brain and all the little convolutions of your brain. And you can feel yourself even getting hotter as it burns and burns the old thoughts and feelings in your brain and shoots up into the great central sun, and there you are, absolutely clean and tidy and ready for action. And our action today, we just came from a Lazarus seminar, which is wonderful. Lazarus is a channeled entity. And we also spoke to Bashar, who's another channeled entity, and he's an ET, and Lazarus is apparently has never been in the body form. And some of you listen on Thursday nights when I work with Jackie Salvitti and her team as we work on ET healing. Oh, my. So there's so much coming from other realms that we're learning, plus my own guides who are so precious and so enlightening. And I've been reading books by Carolyn Corey. And Carolyn Corey is a wonderful person who channels, and she brings through an awful lot of information about how the universe works. So right now I'm just not sort of reeling with new information, but really getting a sense of how all of us are in a state of unfoldment if we let ourselves be. So we used to call it in the olden days, say 20 years ago, processing. And processing was always kind of grueling and hard work, where you kind of got in touch with some deep emotional toxicity. And it might take 2 or 3 weeks to get through a process. How many of you remember that? But these days, because the vibrations are moving so swiftly, our process, which is tools for releasing old reactive energies by choice, by intention, are happening almost instantaneously. It's amazing. And we want that. Because the more I learn about the universe, the more excited I get that the universe, Mother, Father, God, and Creator Spirit, and the universe just keeps unfolding and unfolding. And as we learn to create within ourselves and unfold within ourselves, we're really participating and harmonizing with this amazing, loving potential to unfold. And I believe it was Bashar who said, Bashar is channeled through Daryl Anka. He's a wonderful, wonderful ETB. And I believe that it was him who said that Creator Spirit, all it wants from us, instead of being judgmental, all it wants from us is more change, more unfoldment, more of this creativity. Because as we create and unfold, so does the universe. And the universe, when we become more and more creative, even just think of, I always go back to this, think of the Internet. How the Internet has been a kind of training wheel for our brains to move past a kind of a linear way of thinking, to vibrationally move past the limitations of thoughts and feelings and to move into a much more expanded consciousness. Think of that as just an example of a mass creative movement of us learning to unfold. I know it has its difficulties too, but us learning to unfold a way of thinking about each other instantaneously. And that fuels the universe to be ready for even more creative potential. Because as you and I know, stuff we hadn't thought we could do, we can do now, which means that we're starting to think of more things we never thought we could do. And it's just really wonderful to think of unfoldment and fulfillment. And that brings me to the other one of the other topics, because I have so many topics. I wrote in my little blurb about creativity and about finding places within ourselves of judgment, because it's the judgment that was one of the things. One of the things that prevents our easier unfoldment are our judgments, judgments of self, judgments of others. And before we started this show, I was channeling, and my guides were reminding me that the judgments are, they tend to be, this is kind of interesting, actually. Judgments tend to be more a reflection of us trying to maintain the status quo, us trying to maintain that which we think is going to make our life, what, more refined, more beautiful, richer, more self-sustaining, or whatever. So our judgments are really about that, and sometimes can reflect where we're holding back on unfoldment. So one of the exercises we're going to do today is going to help us go inside and see something we're judging and seeing how it reflects on the process of unfoldment. Now we're going to do that, and we're going to do, I wrote in my little blurb how we're going to go in and find something that is blocking our natural love. And that's really important. And before we do any of that, oh, and at 5 o'clock, I have a new paradigm shifter, somebody who many of you have read in the past. His name is Gay Hendricks, and he and his wife, Kathleen, have started the Hendricks Institute a long time ago. They've been working with consciousness and relationship. But right now, he's got a book, a new book, and it's a manifestation tool called 5 Wishes. He met someone, and that person really got him to go inside, and it has helped him manifest terrifically. So I know that he will be a lively and entertaining interview, and he certainly has been a paradigm shifter for probably over 30 years now, talking to people about consciousness and relationship and consciousness in all ways, shapes, and forms. So I'm pretty excited to be talking to him at 5 o'clock today, so stay tuned. And you might want to, you're on your computer, obviously, you might want to go into 5wishes.com and download his, he's got a kind of a fill-in paper so that you can do the work along with him as he talks. That's just an idea. In any case, one of the things that I love to do, and my guides love us to do, have taught us to do it, is let's create a structure. It's a vibrational tool to protect ourselves, to maintain kind of our own personal choice and integrity within a certain vibrational realm, and it's a great research lab for manifestation. It's also a great research lab for healing and healing tools and dimensions of healing and personal journeying, and holy mackerel, let's get to work. And you know what? It's free. You can carry it anywhere you go. You don't even need a big bag for it. You can use it anytime you want. Are you ready? Got to close your eyes for this one, unless you're driving. A couple of deep breaths. Good. And let's call above your head, call up a golden ball. And I want it to be way up there, like 2-3 miles, something like that. The guides say when you hold it higher, it has a little bit more strength in your vision. And now below your spine, about 20 feet below your spine, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. Can you feel it buzzing? I sometimes can. And now around your body, I want you to create about 8 feet in radius, the circle of golden balls. Make them really shine. Did a wonderful little gathering last night with some terrific people in Redondo Beach. And one of the women said that when she sees this circle of golden balls around her waist, an 8-foot radius, her circle spins and spins. And that's nice, too. So see what happens with yours. So at an 8-foot radius, there you have your circle of golden balls. And from the upper golden ball down to the circle of golden balls, drop a myriad of pink light, little teeny strings of light. Excellent. And then from the circle of golden balls to the lower ball, many, many pink strings of light. Now you're in a structure, you see that? You've got a canopy pointing up and a canopy pointing down. And now inside of that, draw a crystal ball, a beautiful etheric crystal ball, and check what colors show up in this. The edges of the crystal ball nudge the inside edges of this structure. Excellent. Now what color is yours? Mine has got strange colors today, sort of pink and orange and kind of a goldy color, and everything seems to be moving. Oh, yes, and they're showing a little blue and green over here on the sides. What color are yours? And inside of that, let's look at the double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And it's a diamond shape, and there you are inside of it. And now spin and spin and spin and spin, and feel your frequencies lift as you spin and spin and spin. Excellent. Go faster and faster. And as you do, you see this wonderful magical screen in front of you. And on that screen, you create the little movies of what it is you want to create in your world. What is it you want to manifest? Who is it you want to help? You want to write a book? You want to dance a dance? You want to change the world? You want to have a new outfit? You want a relationship? You want to shift your health? Some of you simply want to unfold all the time, to unravel from the cocoon of old thoughts and feelings and reactions that kept us in some form of status quo. Good. And I always ask that I myself experience my multidimensionality with great ease. Remember, when you make your pictures, you got to feel what you're doing in them. Feel them. Good work. And come back into your spinning double tetrahedron. Is yours still spinning? If it's not, give it a couple of twirls before you're done. If it is, enjoy it. All right. Now, you know, when you're out in the world, you can actually throw this little double tetrahedron around any situation that's bugging you. You know, you want a parking spot. I know a lot of you, probably all of you, are able to manifest parking spots. But it's one of those little tools you can use around anything you're trying to have occur at the time. You just got to get in that double tetrahedron and spin the darn thing, or put someone in it, or put your organ in it, or whatever's bothering you at the time. If you have a pain or an illness or somebody who's driving you nuts, you know, and this could work as well as if you're talking to somebody and that person is really irritating you, you can just spin them in that. They'll be fine. They'll just feel lifted. So let's go back into judgments. What I'd like is, if you're going to call in, please call in about the journeying that we're going to do. All right? Can we sort of stick to that today? Or call in from other countries, too. I'm really eager for that. All right. So the call-in numbers are 877 for the U.S., 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. And then if you're in Canada, hello, Canadians, fellow Canadians. Well, actually, I'm kind of American now. 888-815-9756, 888 from Canada, 815-9756. And for everybody else, the direct line is 530-876-3222. Again, 530-876-3222. And I'd love to talk to you, but I hope that we will go farther into, you know, calling about judgments, judgments that you have, judgments that you feel. It's been so interesting to work with a number of situations lately. I was working with a woman who's Gloria Wilcox. She's a really good, a little bit older, a woman who's been working in the healing world for a long time. And she took me into a place when I was a small child, probably 2 weeks ago. And in that place, it wasn't hard, and you could probably do this right now, but in that place, I discovered where I had made a very strong decision. And in that strong decision, I blocked a huge amount of flow in myself. It's really interesting. And you know what? I've been working on myself for 50 years. I've been working really hard on myself, and I had not encountered that particular style of finding who I am. And it's really released a lot of energy in me. And when I've had some difficulties, for example, with some people that you're related to or that you have soul journey material going on, I've suddenly gotten a deeper sense of who I am and who they are and why the twain doesn't meet. It's because those judgments seem to come up based on what, how I want to function in the world in order to be okay as a child of less than two. Okay, that functions really deeply in a person's subconscious. In my case, it was, I need to help, I need to fix something so that I'm worthwhile, so that I'm okay. So, of course, it drove the fixer, and I think a lot of you have that, because everybody, and my guides are saying this, everybody listening to this show basically is driven toward the healing world on some way, shape, or form, some level. We're all helperators, are we not, ladies and gentlemen? So I'm going to ask you to go inside and really, let me see if I finish this thought. Yeah, I think this is a good time to do it. I want you to go inside for a minute and ask your guides and angels and those ancestral beings that are working with you so diligently all the time to help you really unfold into yourself and to really help Creator Spirit unfold the universe. Ain't it great to be a microcosm? So I'd like you to go into yourself, take a deep breath, and backtrack in time and ask to feel something that created the drive to be a healer. Now, I have to say to you that I'm sure that we were born to it, for starters, but there's some way that it picks up speed, or it picks up vehemence, it picks up defiance, it picks up any of those rebellion against the status quo, so it drives you into a world that's kind of alternative. I don't know what it is. It's different for everyone. Maybe it's not that different, but we'll find out, won't we? So take a deep breath and ask your guidance to reveal to you a connection from way back in your past that really amplified your drive to be a healer. To be, in my case, it was to be a fixer, a helperator. And what are you coming up with? And I wonder if you notice what part of your body starts to kind of either pulse or buzz or even just drift with some feelings, or what parts of your body as you drift back into this amazing organization of thoughts and feelings that you are. It's not really who you are, is it? Who you are is an unlimited, amazing, potential being full of love. Wonderful. Now come back forward and tell me what you found out. So you're going to have to call in for that, aren't you? I'll give the numbers again. 877-876-5227. And from Canada, 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. I'd love to hear what came up for you. Now, as you go back in and find out what's been driving you to be a healer person, that's one question, right? That's not all. That, I mean, you, all of you listening to the show might belong to the world we call healers. But a lot of you listening to the show are really vibrant in other realms as well. You do other things. And what is that? Can you ask yourself to go back and find out what has triggered or has given you either that drive in order to be defensive, or is it just flowing through you? What can you learn? Ask your guides and angels to take you back in a time, into a time that really awakened in you that drive. Sometimes we don't get it until we're a lot older, because there were certain things that came up in me in my mid-30s or 40, early 40s. How about you? Ask your guides to take you back to a specific time or bring in someone who had an influence on you. Yeah. And what came up as a result? Did you see a person? Did you feel a fear of belonging? You know, I used to have a fear of being kind of conscripted by what I saw was kind of a crazy status quo. Any of you got that kind of thing going on? Sometimes that's what drives us into being different. And I should ask you, Bob. Bob's a wizard, a technological wizard. Do you feel like there was a place in which you started doing it, or you were influenced to do it, or you were driven to do it?
It was somewhat suggested from one member of my family who really appreciated the world being healed, and so that sort of drove me from an early age. I guess that's it.
So you'd say that there was a person that had a real trigger for that. See, that's interesting. So that is actually a reactive drive in us, and we don't want to get rid of all our reactive drives, but sometimes when we understand them, we can go back in and feel a flush of fresh energy that comes out behind them. Did you feel any of that, Bob?
Yeah, I know. I know that the drive is much more than that person, but that person was the trigger to get me going on it.
There's a word I love, which is activator. There are some people that come into our lives, there's some situations that come into our lives, and then, crackety jack, we're activated to start doing something in particular, right? So you could say that that person who encouraged you to be a healer, is that what it was? Person encouraged you to, but still you're so technical. Did that person also included your technical growth? Okay. I'm putting him on the spot. I don't think it's his favorite thing. Anyway, so if you're not going to call in, I'm just going to keep talking. All right. So basically what the deal is, I wanted to talk about the dynamics of our judgments as well. It is very interesting because I want us to all go in and ask ourselves to pay attention to someone that we're mad at, frustrated with, limited by, angry with. Some people say they never judge, and if you look at them carefully, you know that we all judge. It's a human thing. It's a thing we do. We judge when we purchase things. We judge when we go places. We do judge each other a lot. We kind of cast an eye. We judge how people speak, how they dress, where they're doing, what they're involved with, and so on. So once we realize we do that, let's see if we can get the milk out of it. Let's see if we can get the best stuff out of it. So let's go into someone you judge. Let's go inside and ask for help from our guides and angels and call up somebody that you have some judgment on and see what that's about. And who comes up for you? I want you to take a look at what that person is doing that creates judgment in you. See if that person is doing something that you're projecting on, or something that means if they can do that, it somehow limits you. If they can do what it is they're doing that annoys you, it somehow limits you. So it kind of ends up that our judgments sort of hold each other back in place. It's energetically, you're sort of holding them back. You understand what I mean? Say, they're not doing it all right. They're not doing the right thing by my thinking. And so if we send out that energy that I'm judging that person, we're literally holding them in this place of less than us, or a place that we have designed is good for them, because otherwise they'll shake up our security and our status quo. It's sort of interesting if you start playing with that and you release that energy. So how do we release it? So we call it up and we feel the judgment we have on that person, and then we exaggerate it in ourselves, say, oh, I want to judge that person. I feel my judgment. I feel my judgment. I see that all they're doing is creating, and I don't like it because it disrupts my life. And I think about, you know, how we're creating universes, so maybe unwittingly. So we're creating universes. So let's go back in and ask to feel and see that person again. And ask for help with your guides and angels. And let's command total release of our judgment right now. Total release of the judgment. And when you do, you want to make sure that the feelings that you have in your body change and transform as well. Excellent. Because really, our judgments are sort of a tool that we use to keep everybody in the same bucket, if you will. You know the old thing about crabs in a bucket? And what we're really interested in also is finding out how to improve our how to improve our creativity. And when we've got these blocks in us, like judging the other people, for example, there's always a huge amount of energy behind it. It's like we put a lid on ourselves, that there's an energy flow in us that instead of flowing through us in order to help our creativity and so on, we're capping it with a sort of a judgment. I would never do that. I would never do this. I'm not saying we should all go out and do terrible things. I'm saying that when you notice that you are judging, then you can actually drop inside yourself and see what it is you're judging and what it is you're curtailing in yourself. What are you holding back in yourself? Because when you release it, then you get more of your own natural, flowing, creative energy. So let's try it with love. Let's see if you can find, let's ask to feel in our body, mind, emotional self, all the energy that comes from love. How does it feel? All the energy that comes from the word love in your body. All right. Now, some of you are feeling, Some of you are having all kinds of interesting reactions that come from having had abuse. So a lot of times, like for me, when I discovered this that Gloria Wilcox was working with me on the other day, a couple of weeks ago, was that my way of loving at a certain level, and this isn't all of me, for heaven's sakes, but anyway, a certain aspect of my nature was my way of loving was to help and to help and to help. And I would get really frantic if I couldn't think of what to do to help. And I never knew why. And now I sort of see it. And what happens is then I can release that. I can look at that and go, that isn't really my love. My love is deeper, and it's a flow going through me. But like the universe, love is an increasingly expanding commodity. Some people are born with more lovingness than others. Some people are naturally more loving. We all know some people like that who just radiate love and aren't quite as defensive. Maybe they didn't come in with as big a cocoon of the human stuff, if you will. But anyway, so what happens is you, when you get in touch with something like that, which is a defensive and an identifying thing, and you really can release it, then it's amazing how much more loving you can allow yourself to feel. So that if I'm not doing something for someone, if I'm not helping or healing, I can actually be really loving and it's fine. It's a different thing. But until I uncovered some of that, I didn't know any better. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. So we were listening to Lazarus, and he was talking about, I'm talking to you about judgments, because there's been a lot of that going on amongst a lot of people that I know, including some of my clients. And then we went to see Lazarus this weekend and went through a wonderful seminar, and he was talking about understanding. And one of the lines that he said that I really love is that you're not here to be understood. You're here to be understanding. Again, there's a kind of an unfoldment with that, isn't it? Reaching for the understanding is an unfolding process instead of waiting and holding and hoping to be understood. But then when you think of a line like that, now think about that again, is you're not here to be understood, you're here to be understanding. So if you think about that and you think about your judgments, that there's a really terrific, at least it was for me, there's a real aha that came, that the judgments, the only job there is when I'm judging someone is to go for understanding. And it's not always easy to do that. But once again, when you do that, you get some amazing hits of kind of soft energy. What I found today was when I was looking at someone that I was judged by. How's that? Obviously, I'm judging this person, but I'm thinking more about how she judges me, right? Isn't that how we work it? I'm kind of chuckling to myself. And then in my intuitive self, I see how amazing it is that our souls have been entwined for gosh knows how long, and there's all this amazing stuff. It's like vines. It's like huge plants that are all woven together willy-nilly, and it's really hard to separate one task, one talent, one action, one reaction, one from the other, because there's all this weaving and so on and so forth that is going on, and it leads to, so for example, if you've got a lot of soul stuff with someone, or maybe it's a sibling, or maybe it's just a good friend where you have a lot of soul journeying with that person, it's absolutely amazing how difficult it is to extricate yourself from the feeling of judgments when it comes up. The feeling of judgment will very often make you feel like you're being pulled in or you're drowning in it or something. And the reality is that you two are locked in some kind of deep thing that will not make sense. So what do we do with that? Have any of you discovered as you went in to find out who you're judging and how you feel and whether you can change your point of view about it? Have you discovered that it's really hard to disconnect or release from certain people? Very often it's when you have these incredibly detailed lacings through souls that the anger, the frustration, the difficulty, the judgment will not make any sense. We were talking last night about how, you know, sometimes you have a lover and you break up and you just can't seem to recover from it. That's another situation where you're moving on, just as we're always taught to do. You're moving on, you're creating your life, you're unfolding, and you can't seem to get away. And you keep getting pulled back and pulled back. And the thing is, if you look at the soul journey, it's, to me, it's like this amazing kind of a light, how it looks to me is sort of a light stream, like a ribbon of light, with all kinds of details in it, and the other person's hooks in with yours, and you've had some kind of past lives or future lives or something, You have something to learn together, and it defies logic. And how do you know when it's soulular like that? You know because the push and the pull and the impossibility of dealing with the judgment is tremendous. And it blocks the love quite a lot. It's like, it's a feeling of, well, it's funny because my guides will say to people, just love each other. Because the natural flow of love that comes through us doesn't happen when we're locked in some kind of cellular combat with someone. Just learn to love each other. And when you do, you can actually release these. If you're trying to be right, I have a girlfriend who said one day, you cannot be loving and can't be right. You can't be loving and want to be right all at the same time. And it's so true. So if you're locked in some kind of mortal combat with somebody on an attempt to either get something sorted out or to be right or to get away from them and you can't, turn around and just start loving the person. I don't mean fall all over them and become like in Israel they call it a nudnik when you're somebody you can't get rid of. But I don't mean doing that, but I mean that turn and just really experience in yourself that ability to send love to that person over and over again. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Dominic from London in England.
Hey Dominic, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Yes, everything's wonderful and jolly.
Oh, good.
I was just thinking, well, basically, when I was doing an exercise about going into the past to see what activated me to want to become a healer or whatever in that sort of world.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I started seeing all these moments when I found myself wrecking things or ripping stamp collections up and how upset it all made me, and I wanted to fix everything. And still, I'm not very good with, you know, I wreck so many things so easily that I don't trust myself with that.
Oh. Why did you wreck them, in a fit of pique, or were you just clumsy?
Both. I remember as a child, my brother didn't want to play a game or something, so I damaged his stamp collection.
Oh, my.
I regretted that all through my childhood ever since.
Oh, my.
And I regretted it all through my adulthood, too. I just... But also as a... even at a younger age, I might sort of do something like put a toy car in someone's plastic model that was drying, and then it's I wrecked everything, and innocently I did all these things, and oh dear.
Oh dear. Well, tell me this, when you called it up and felt it, can you actually forgive Dominic for doing that?
Well, I can. I can indeed. I suppose it's just... Well, I laugh about this, and I realize my brother doesn't, I'm sure my brother has forgiven me. Yes.
You're sure he has?
Yes. It's just, I just wish the me back then hadn't done it. So I keep thinking, could I go back in time and tell myself, don't do it, just calm down.
I think you can go back in time and maybe unhook that drive. Did you feel a deep drive in yourself that really feels that irate and that wound up when you're doing the meditation?
I suppose it just all, you know, these things are just, you know, I've known about them all through my life and revisiting them, but it's just coming back to me then and just realizing that, I could, something to call up about. Gosh, yes, it's the real thing happening inside.
Well, good.
So,
how,
you know, that's the way of me coming to the surface with this sort of getting it out on the radio show.
Getting it clear.
Yeah.
Do you do healing work at all?
Well, I do sometimes, but I don't get anyone, you know, to practice on, really. But occasionally it might suddenly happen where the situation might occur and I'll be able to do some healing. But...
And do you work on your brother?
No, I don't. No, it's like nobody's really too interested in my healing abilities.
And that's probably because you need to do a bit more healing yourself, don't you?
Yes.
But you're coming along. Do you feel like you're getting somewhere?
I was getting somewhere in terms of...
Your personal healing. We're always in a state of unfoldment, aren't we?
Well, I think a lot of things have been, you know, twisting and turning, sort of unfolding, and you know, it's like playing with a Rubik's Cube, but you know, I feel I'm getting somewhere with this at last. The things that are unfolding in a very interesting way over the last few months.
Okay, well, that's good, because things are very fast on the planet. They're changing really fast. And when we make an intention, as you know, an intention, and you do your creative visualization, you can really heal a lot of stuff that's kept you confused, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but thanks so much for your call.
Okay, lovely to talk to you. Goodbye.
Wonderful to talk to you. All right, so what we're going to do is some energy clearing right now. So where everybody has got some kind of defense or some judgment, and let's call up all the energy of judgment. Now that call was sort of interesting, because I don't know how the rest of you are dealing with it, but we all have stuff that we've been doing since we were small, and it's not too late for us to turn around and clear it. And I mean clear it by putting the light of illumination on it, seeing what it is we do, really taking responsibility for it and intending to move past it. And I find when I really sit with the stuff that I've done, it just seems to disband. Most of it does. Some of the really more trenched in things that I believe are cellular, they seem to take a little while. So anyway, let's, for the sake of Dominic and other people who are doing this childhood, let's go in and send light into ourselves and clear up something to do with that time that you found when you went in to find where you became, for example, a healer, or where you found a deep defensiveness, or where you found a deep, it was judgment we were working on, where you found a deep judgment on something. And let's take some energy and move it. Or maybe we'll just do another structure. Let's just put it in a double tetrahedron. That's it. And put that experience, that vision that you had, in your double tetrahedron, and spin it, and spin it, and spin it. Excellent. And just spin it, and spin it. And what you're doing is transforming the nature of the energy that's been locked into you, that has prevented you from feeling the freedom to unfold in your own truth. Excellent. Just spin it and spin it. And then you can see yourself stepping out of a defensive or a judgmental habitual statement. Yeah. And you know what's really interesting is that we're locked into kind of this weird, it's a cocoon made of a lot of human dimensional interactions. It's just sort of stuff around us. But what are we inside? When you drop in and do these experiences, where are these amazing vibrational vehicles of light? We're really very, very creative beings. And when you can step out of any aspect of this cocoon and really become, well, true to yourself, you can have the freedom to create and to create and to create. But when we're locked behind the judgment and the fear of judgment and so on, then we can't really create as well. So one of our goals is to be free to love and to be free to create. When you're having an argument with somebody and we said turn around and just love them, how many of you felt like that's really a scary thing to do? Because then what? Then they'll think they're right. Then they'll think they won. Then I've lost. Then I don't have any power. Then I don't have any status. Then that I'm not okay. Did any of you consider that? Because the reality is what you're doing when you turn around and just love them is you're really basically unhooking from them that kind of tether that goes back and forth of trying to be right. Nobody's really right, you know? I mean, it's like consensus isn't really right, is it? How many of you knew that as a kid? I remember looking and thinking when I was very small how the people who knew how to live were usually sad and angry. And I thought, I don't want to really be like that, but they're the ones who seem to know how to live. And little kids are very perceptive. Little kids see what's going on out there, and little kids see the deceptions adults place upon themselves and one another. But it's like that's the status quo in many ways. There are different levels of status quo. There are people who hook up with each other and that are making huge changes on the planet. I know that. And that status quo is something we want to participate in. That's the universe unfolding for our very eyes, and a win-win kind of situation for people. I keep meeting people who are doing global service and going out, and it's like our guest, Susan Bradbury, she was talking about doing micro-lending in different parts of the world. I mean, there are many, many, many situations I've heard of since then of people who are roaming the world making huge, huge changes in places where people are downtrodden or where they're, the way our economic world is controlled has really kept them on the bottom rung. There's a lot of people out there doing global service, and to be in that status quo would be really more, I want to say free, but it isn't really. It's kind of a status quo that chooses consciousness and intention to move into the world. Because a lot of the status quo doesn't make too much sense, does it? And what I was talking about, let's see, the guides were telling me several things to talk about. Yeah. I was talking in my little flyer about love. So let's take one more run about looking into yourself and seeing about love. How is it that you feel love? I want you to ask yourself what love feels like to you. And I want you to ask yourself, what is it you forfeit when you hold your love in such a way? For example, when you call in your love, do you feel the densities and the tensions that also come with love? And what is it that it costs you to hold those old densities and those old reactions in your body, mind? I think that it costs us a great deal of freedom, and I think it costs us a lot of our creativity. Because look, when you're calling in your love, look at your body. You notice that, I can see it in a number of you, you see that there's a constriction in the legs, there's a constriction in the chest, there's a constriction in the stomach. There's all these different ways in which we've recorded. Remember that the body is a wonderful system of filing. And we've recorded all these fears of love or these conditions of love or these needs to be right or whatever. And when you want to go out and find your partner, you want to be able to do it right and you want to look right and you want to be right. This is not just being love, is it? So what is it that that costs us as being? And I believe that it costs us a great deal of creativity, for starters, because you cannot have that much energy locked up inside of yourself with that many organs without creating a limit in your ability to design and unfold the way that you possibly could. So let's call in the guides and angels and ask for help as we command total release of that old recording of love in your body, mind. Let's command total release of it. Good. And now swish your body out with light. Swish your body out with light. Use a platinum spiraling light. Why don't we do that and call in the platinum spiraling light in through the top of your head and whirl that through your head and through your neck and through your shoulders and through your whole torso and down through your legs and into the earth, and have it shoot back up from the earth and absolutely flood your body with its light. Now let's call in the feeling of love as it comes from spirit, as it comes from the higher consciousness. And let's call in that feeling of love and have it flood your body and whirl round and round in your body. And love itself is expanding, always unfolding, and very healing. So let's have yourself run love and the healing vibration of love out through your heart. And let's send it to people that you know are suffering, who's close to you, people in your family who really need some support. I'm thinking of three or four people right now who are really in desperate straits. I'm going to mention Ernie. If everybody could send some love to Ernie, and send this love to those people that you know are very sick. Ernie is an older man who's going through a real grappling for his life at this time, and I believe he wants to live longer. So let's send him love to help buoy up his journey. And other people that you know of who are going through crises, losses, maybe expansions they're afraid of. People are financially stricken. And then let's send that love over to the Middle East, to Iraq. And that light all through Iraq and Iran, back to the Pentagon. Absolutely flood the president and his cohorts, his henchmen, and just send them love, love, love. And then send that love all over the world and really kitsch everybody with it. Good work. And we're almost at the end of this show, and I'd like you to stay tuned, because at 5 o'clock at the top of the hour, we're going to have Gay Hendricks. Gay Hendricks has written a book called Five Wishes. I mentioned it earlier and said that if you're online and you'd like to do it, you can go into 5wishes.com, just the number 5wishes.com, and print out his worksheet, because I think he's going to put you through some more paces here, teaching you how to manifest the life you want. And remember the secret. His stuff is like the secret. Only it's a takeoff on that, where you have to go in and discover what is limiting you in your life and how to get in touch with the depth of that and how to transform it. So his name is Gay Hendricks. He's very famous for his conscious relationship work and his consciousness work for a good 30 years. He has an institute in Colorado, and he's going to be on talking about Five Wishes. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for listening to Radiance by Design. We'll see you at 4 o'clock next week, and we're going to see you in 5 minutes with Gay Hendricks, and we'll see you in a bit. Many blessings.